If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right.
Nice big yawn to start off. A confident start to the podcast.
To the first of the new series. I don't know if it's the 12th or the 11th, Neil.
Who cares? Why do you always ask that?
Fucking
Why
hell.
Does it matter?
Do you aware of the notion of series?
Yeah, but why are you always like, ooh, is it a series? 11th series? 12th? Does it really matter? Once you're in the double digits, does it matter what series?
Everything is so sloppy with you.
I know.
It's like, you know, there were 4 series of Succession. There were 9 series of The Sopranos. There was famously only 2 series of Fawlty Towers. How many series were there? If Giles Corran has no idea, we asked its co-star Esther Walker. Nah, he gives a fuck. It's a different attitude.
If you were only OCD about cleaning the kitchen or making the bed, that would be great.
No, but you just go, welcome to episode 1, series 12. Coming up to do series 12, which may well be known as the last pre-war series. Mm-hmm. You know how you talk about the pre-war era?
Yes.
You know, the summer of 1913 before Britain and Europe and the world lost their innocence. It was the pre-war era. Or you talk about the Weimar Republic, cabaret, pre-war Berlin.
Yeah.
You know, cocktails and sex and then
decadence and
came the Nazis and war. And I minded
because decadence is a thing that Putin accuses us of all the time. Decadence.
So. Yeah, well then so does the whole of the insurrectionist Islamist world. Who unfortunately
have got it in for us.
Have an axis with China, which all sounds a bit axis of evil, but according to the Times, on the front page at the top on Tuesday, underneath Are You Burnt Out? Yes, How to Stop the Stress, and Why I Walked Out of 5-Star Poor Things by Alice Thompson, is World on Perilous Path to War Within 5 Years, Shapps Warns. That's quite hardcore.
That is very hardcore, and I have to say that I declined to read the story because I was so scared. And as I declined to read the story and I put the paper to one side and went to do something else, I thought, did housewives in 1939 also do that?
They did.
Did they just go, oh my God, I can't. Even.
But luckily the men, like me, stood up and said, no, Mr. Hitler, we're not standing for that.
You're too old to fight now.
World on Perilous Path to War Within 5 Years. That's fucking major. It says Shapps warns. That funny little man who's the...
Grant Shapps.
Yeah, what does he do? Is he transport now?
He used to be... He made
stationery,
he made say. He made millions from stationery. And
I
then
think
they
say he's a minister for stationery.
No, I'm sure he'd like to be because he knows so much about it.
World on Perilous Path to War Within 5 Years says...
But Grant Shapps is the new Defence Secretary, so he wants
to
make... Yes.
What about the ball bloke who looked a bit like my dad?
That nice fellow, yeah.
He was in the army.
Yeah, yeah, he got fed up with it. Fair enough. He was very good, actually. He was so good, I can't remember
his name. He left because he thought it was all over, done Ukraine. Little did he know that wars, writes George Grills, the defence correspondent, involving Russia, China, Iran and North Korea could erupt in the next 5 years, the defence secretary has said.
Yeah. It's just sort of so scary and unknowable. I think it's difficult to tune into it, really.
The idea that Russia, China, Iran and North Korea should have these... interests that are the same is weird. It's like that's a bit Bond film, isn't it? I mean, it is absolutely the most terrifying thing. And if you look at newspapers in 1910, 11, 12, 13, they were all saying, you know, on the path to war in such and such a time, you know, will it happen? It'll start by a thing. Will it be over by Christmas? So it's quite hard to then... we can't dismiss this story. Shapps may be a tedious wonk, but he might be right.
Yes, but how is that a column? Darling, I know that you do like to dwell on these sort of awful things, like things being pre-war and it's also depressing and the polar bears and climate change and stuff, but A, you're bumming me out, and B, it's just not going to make a column.
Okay,
so let's move on to some weird story about...
There's one here, number four, which says, I've handwritten because my laptop I couldn't find, I've written, young need to see the old wanking.
Working. Yeah. Nobody needs to see anyone wanking.
It would have been a hell of a story to have had in the Times, isn't it?
Yes.
So there's two work stories.
Yeah.
Okay. These are jollier. Look, it's Sandy Toxvig. Yay! She's a jolly old
Forget
cove.
About the war.
Toxvig says, we're on a path to war. No, Toxvig says, Bake Off atrophied my brain. Fans of the Great British Bake Off, not us, will be familiar with contestants' fears of soggy bottoms, but its former host, Sandy Toxvig, has admitted that she had more cerebral concerns. I mean, as we go into our 12th series of this thing, and you can't really believe it, has it atrophied our brains? You can certainly see what Sandy's talking about. I left Bake Off because I stopped having fun. I left Bake Off because I stopped having fun, said Sandy Toxvig. I was literally standing there watching meringues dry and thinking, oh my God, my brain is atrophying, she told Radio Times. So after 3 years, I thought, that'll do, go and do something else.
Well, now You can never be too sure if the reasons that television presenters give for leaving their gigs is actually the total and whole truth.
You're looking at me meaningfully. Are you saying that when I say that I left Amazing Hotels because after 4 series and 25 episodes and 6 months away from my family, going into hotels and going, wow, and then pretending to clean a swimming pool, are you saying that the possibility that I left because it was atrophying my brain, which is basically what I told the world, there might be more to it than that?
No, but we know, don't we, that in most television situations, when they want to get rid of a presenter, you are given an option. You're basically handed a pistol and said...
You're handed a revolver and a bottle of whiskey and told to go into the next room and do the decent
and
thing.
Sort it out,
and it's been brought to light by the likes of Sue Barker. Mark Lawrenson was a football-focused presenter the same thing happened. And at a certain point in your career, you might decide to go with, this is ageist, this is wrong.
Yes. Or you can say, it was atrophying my brain. But anyway, she's got a good point.
Well, she's great, Sandy, and she does the IQ thing. Mm-hmm. So it may be true. She may not have been fired, but
television presenting work has always struck me as being unbelievably boring. There's a lot of waiting around, stop, start, pointing at things, subsuming. Basically, you have to suppress all of your own fears and thoughts and desires and everything about yourself in order to present this thing.
Particularly to do a shoe like Bake Off.
A shoe.
My brain's atrophying.
But then you do sort of think about, you know, what about sort of exciting jobs? Like, we in theory have an exciting job. We have jobs that a lot of people would quite like to have, and sometimes people are quite... angry.
Jobs. You're sitting at the kitchen table.
Yes,
going
on.
Nah, 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 with the
sitting
cup of tea.
Sitting at the table, nattering on, going out to eat at restaurants for a living and saying what you think for a living. And sometimes I think that people are quite angry with us, and particularly with you because you're more high profile than me, because they see your job as being an amazing, brilliant, really fun job. But every job gets boring, doesn't it?
So this is how one speaks out. In a column like this, where I would go, has this atrophied my brain? Mobile, mobile, wibble, wibble, splurk, I would then write for the comedy representation of the boggled brain. But it's like, yes, sensibly, like restaurant reviewing, best job in the world. Mm. Oh, my Christ, no. Can I bring you the wine list? No, you can fuck off, mate. Mm-hmm. It's that. Would you like me to explain the specials? I'd rather you put pins in my eyes.
Yeah, yes.
Have you got any allergies? No, except for sitting here in your fucking restaurant.
Yeah.
How's everything for you? Fuck off.
Yeah.
Is everything okay? Don't call me mate.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's terrible. Would you like some dessert? Do I look like I want dessert? Did I get a body like this eating dessert? How would you like the steak cooked? Just cook it. Whatever I say, you'll get it wrong. Bring me the fucking steak. So your brain does absolutely... You're quite right. So mine atrophies doing that, and it's not even I don't do that often. So the notion of the atrophying of mundane, repeated tasks...
Yeah.
Call centre work, form filling, you know, the things for all the jobs from which people will in theory be saved by... or superannuated by AI.
Yeah. It's all basically, so the column for that, the potential column for that is, yes, all work is boring.
So in that case, you would right at Sandy Toksvig.
Yeah.
And she's a sort of, oh, she was a friend of my late dad and she's friends with my sister and we get on perfectly fine. So I wouldn't go like, fuck you, Toksvig, and your privilege. You think you're so... It's not that, but it's, yes, Sandy, all work is atrophies the brain.
Yeah.
That's what we have to give. That's why they're going to replace us with AI.
Well, that's why you get paid, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get paid to do... It's why it's called work and why you get paid.
It's
because it's boring and it never stops.
That's Homer Simpson, is that it's boring and makes you want to kill yourself. That's why it's called work or something.
Yes, exactly.
Because the work story... Okay, so work atrophies the brain. But there was another story. So that's where we came to. It's the young need to see the old wanking. But it's not wanking, it's working.
Yes.
And it's a thing about... And where's the story? And it's in the paper. Young miss out.
Yeah.
Writes Emma Yeomans in the Times today or yesterday. When older colleagues work from home.
Yeah.
Young people starting out in their careers may be missing out on learning their trade because their colleagues are working from home. Mm. And I think about this. My best friend, Jem, who's a barrister and a public law and a great man and a hardworking fellow and my age, in lockdown, started obviously from home, doing his paper, obviously does his paperwork from home. He used to cycle into chambers, into the Inner Temple, that amazing sort of medieval thing, and he loved it. And he went into his sort of sat at his sort of leather top desk, and he would cycle in at 5 a.m. and just like work, 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 and being a barrister. Then he'd go to court and into the robing room and the banter and all that banter, whatever.
Hello,
my lord.
Yeah.
Rogered any pupils recently. God. Come for a claret at the club. No, but so Jem used to love all that. Now, he lives around the corner from me in Gospel Oak. He got a dog in lockdown and he doesn't go into it anymore. And he's a KC. And I said, are you going to work today? No, I haven't been for 3 months. Why not? Well, who's going to walk the dog? And you go, imagine Rumpole of the Bailey thinking like that. Imagine. But, you know, his wife's a teacher. His kids are, one of them's at university, one's still at school. The dog's alone all day. It's a chirpy, what is it, a spaniel, isn't it?
A little spaniel.
Jem chooses KC on, and has also done judging work. Mm-hmm. Stays at home in order to take it up under the heat for a shit at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that's more important than going to chambers.
Yes.
And he can then bill a certain number of hours as a barrister, like our mate Peter up the road, who works from home because his billable hours are higher because he's not wasting time on the train. And I've actually said, and Jem was going to give up his chambers. I go, well, you can't, you've got to... That's what a barrister is. It's someone who goes there, who goes, he's in the roving room and the nattering. They do all their conferences on Zoom. Wear whatever you like.
Yeah.
And they put on this heavy horsehair thing. And saying to Jem, isn't that marvellous putting on the wig? And he said, for the first 20 years. Yeah, you know what I mean? And it's like, because his brain's atrophied, I suppose he would be saying.
But anyway, I
said, Jem, you've got to go in for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, the people need to see... The senior people.
I have just got incredibly fond memories of the more senior journalists that I used to sort of chat to on various newspapers. Valentine Lowe, who's just retired from the Times, he was special writer or sort of chief writer or something, but he basically followed the royals. He was amazing.
Bernard Levin. When I started the Times,
Keith Dovkent, John Arledge used to come into the Evening Standard.
Anthony Howard. Philip Howard, Charles Dickens was walking around. No, but you get to talk to them. You'd occasionally have lunch with them, and there they would be, and they would say, they would mostly tell you to fuck off.
Yeah.
But that was important as well, because one day I'll tell people to fuck off.
Yes.
I have to do it on social media, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I thought, and I can't get out of my head the idea of people watching me wanking, but still, I thought, I've done it before. There's a column about the working day. Sorry, what? I know.
I've got a very bad mental picture in my head now. I just need to...
Gather round.
No.
You may have thought that the London College of Printing course had taught you all you need to know about journalism. Your 3 years on the Burnley Echo had taught you... But now, come to the home of a columnist and find out what he does all day. Is it wanking or working? It's a bit of both, kids. Sorry. The point is that, yes, it's the idea of, but look, the young need to see the old working. Look, come and have a look at me working.
Right.
Stop thinking wanking.
And this is what it
working.
Looks like,
It's just my handwriting. It just looks like wanking.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So it's all about work this week. It's work, 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 work.
Sandy Toksvig, yeah.
Yeah, says it atrophies your brain and everybody else needs to come into my office and see me wanking. Jobs a mighty fine one. File that.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okie dokie. Not interested.
No, exactly.
Not interested.
No, the other W word, washing. We could talk about that.
What about washing?
Well, just to the thing I haven't done that begins with W and ends in ing.
Oh, you haven't been washing. Yeah.
I haven't been washing. I've also not been wanking.
Okay, great.
Because I haven't been washing, and it would be disgusting. Haven't washed for 6 days.
Amazing. So the amazing thing about you that listeners might not know is that you don't ever smell. Your feet don't smell, your clothes don't smell. I can't tell if you've been in a room or not. You don't smell.
So in a kind of environmental thing, I've stopped, I change my pants every day because, mm-hmm. you shit yourself. But I've stopped. And socks, it feels a bit, just they get a bit sweaty and crusty. But I always wear, every day I get dressed, I put socks, pants and a t-shirt. And the t-shirt is the base layer of thing. And I used to change it every day and I stopped. And I've worn this t-shirt now.
Oh my God, you're not even changing your t-shirt?
No, 3 days.
Christ!
Not washing your t-shirt. I don't smell at all.
No.
But also, you had stopped washing.
I don't do a full body bathe every day, but I wash at the sink.
You always give your...
Oh no, there's no, there's no need. Neil, cut that
out.
So
you do it like the with the flannel between the leg. polish. We'll come to the newspaper with this in a minute.
That is no way to talk about me. No,
I know, because you have that flannel which you do your pits with. Because I once used it to try and wash my face. And I thought,
white is for face, blue is for body.
Right, well, the way... And then you do smell. No, you're not a smelly person. You're just human. No, you don't, my love. But you wash and you use deodorant and you smell amazing.
Oh, my God. If I didn't wash, I would smell absolutely terrible, like, really quickly.
If you didn't wash at all. No, you...
Oh, God, no.
You'd come in the door and say somebody died.
Yes, it would be so bad.
But you stop washing... You stop showering and bathing.
Yeah. It started off as a time-saving measure, and also as a hair saving measure, because
because you're a busy working mum.
No, well, you can't. Well, I started to find showering a bit kind of enervating. It was a bit bad for, I don't know, it kind of upset me to sort of have a
shower. You found all that hard water on your hair,
the hard water on my hair, and also
it's falling out much less now.
After I had my children, my hair started falling out, and my hairdresser said, "How often do you wash your hair?" And I said, "Well, every day." And she went, "Every day?" Like that. And I went, yeah. She went, "You don't wash your hair every day." So now I wash my hair once a week. Depending what else I'm doing, I will have an everything shower, as it's called, or a big bathe and get everything sorted out. But otherwise, as you get older, washing every single day, particularly in London hard water, is not very good for your skin. And you particularly have very dry skin.
I have dry back skin. And unfortunately, I'm, as a single man, there's nobody to moisturise my back. What I should have done was got married so that somebody would fucking moisturise my back. So I thought the thing to do is to not let it get dry. I've never put soap on it. I just soap my pits, balls, crack, and then everything else. I don't actually... Which you brought the subject up.
I didn't. You
okay,
did.
Fine, I did. And then it's a little insight into the daily life of a columnist. It'll be going in the column for Tony Gallagher. This is what he does. Of course. So you get soap up there and all the sort of greasy bits. And then, but they get dry anyway just from the water. And also my hair. I stopped washing my hair all the time.
Yeah. If you put sort of product in your hair, then I can see that you want to wash it out.
But if you don't wash your hair, then you don't need to put product in your hair because it's that sort of claggy look.
Like Sam's hair. Yeah. Sam, who never washes his hair is just sort of stiff.
It's amazing. He has a shower and it's like a duck.
Yeah.
Before the hair doesn't, his hair is so dirty, it doesn't even get wet.
No,
and it just goes.
It just runs off. Yeah.
It hums a bit when it's wet, when it's damp.
It does. His hair smells a bit when he hasn't washed it for a while. But
so anyway, taking my lead from you, I thought, well, I'll stop because in the morning there's so little time, and if you have a 10-minute lovely hot shower, I used to like having a shower then turning it to cold for my mental health. Mm-hmm. Learned that from Libby Purvis, who is mad as a bag of spanners, but says claims that having a cold shower every morning has kept her sane. Neil is writing down literally.
Take out.
To ask me afterwards, is it okay to say that Libby is mad as a bag of spanners? I think we should put it in and find out. If there's one thing about Libby Purvis, is she is not shy of telling me
when
I've gone awry. She'll do it on Twitter publicly. Ooh, Giles, your father, I remember him. He wouldn't have stood for this. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Which is fine. So anyway, following my leave from you, I now haven't washed for 6 days. I don't smell, I've saved all that
time,
heat and water in the environment.
And how's your back feeling?
Well, I don't know. If you ever touched it, you'd find out, wouldn't you?
No, I mean to you.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not. It's not too crackly. It's feeling kind of nice.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the three W's: washing, working, and wanking. You've got to just put them in order, and then life is sorted.
And then life is absolutely sorted. Great. I hope everybody learned something there. This doesn't feel like episode one of series 12 at all, does it? The meandering.
Can you imagine this was the first episode? It would never get commissioned. Oh. It never did get commissioned. It just sort of happened.
Yeah, we just sort of made them do it.
Back when people thought podcasts didn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the reduced Shakespeare?
Yes. I mean, yes. It, only because I don't understand why people are so obsessed with reducing Shakespeare. I don't get it. It's like, you can... when Twitter came out, there was this whole fashion for reducing all sorts of very long books into 140 characters. Moby Dick, Wuthering Heights, all that stuff. It's like, just...
Well,
that
was
book.
I think that was a sort of joke. This thing with the Shakespeare, and fair enough, I mean, it's the RSC, they have to do gimmicks, they have to do things to try and get people into it.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Brevity is the soul of wit, Shakespeare in 18 Minutes by RSC. Bite-sized Shakespeare for day trippers is to be launched in the playwright's hometown by the new double act charged with keeping the thing relevant, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I suppose Stratford-upon-Avon is just a kind of...
People have gone there to...
It's a theme park, isn't it?
Yeah, you've gone there to buy a mug and a thing.
Yeah.
But... It's people go, I don't watch and I don't go to the theatre because I haven't got time. No, you're too thick, I suppose.
Well, I don't go to the theatre. It's not because I'm too thick, it's just I don't like the theatre. But I'm not going to go and watch a Shakespeare play. But so I'm not going to go and watch a 3-hour Shakespeare play, and I'm not going to watch an 80-minute Shakespeare play either.
Well, it's a question of what people want. They're doing As You Like It first, and As You Like It, what are the bits you would save? What's the plot? It's
how do you edit Shakespeare?
There's the good Duke and the bad Duke. One of them's been exiled to the Forest of Arden, and then there's a speech about all the world's a stage, and then it ends.
Right.
You could either see none of it or all of it, is what I'm saying. And it's all
exactly, exactly. I'm not going to see Shakespeare at all, and I'm not going to see it if it's shorter. So why not put it on properly for the people who actually want to see it? But I suppose...
Well, which they're going to do as well.
Yeah,
our kids are doing Shakespeare, and I just for the starting up with Shakespeare, and I sort of wonder, I hope they're doing it properly. I hope they're not doing translated, modernised versions of it. I hope they're... Because there isn't any point.
I don't think so.
The stories are all sort of horseshit, and it's about getting into a little bit of the poetry.
Anyway, what do you think of... I'm just sort of tickled by the fact that the story comes round every now and again. Sort of reduced... reduced Shakespeare company was funny, though. Yeah. That was a comedy thing.
The song from Kiss Me Kate, Brush Up Your Shakespeare, is funny. Mm. But they... reduced Shakespeare company actually rather like the brilliant... Did you ever see the Skinhead Hamlet?
No.
It contains such speeches as to fuck or be fucked.
Right.
That is the question. And also the best line, fuck off to a nunnery, which is what... And the point is, that depends on... It's a 1970s thing. A radio play, 15 minutes. Well, couldn't put it on the radio, but 15-minute play. And what I love about it is that Hamlet saying to Ophelia, fuck off to a nunnery, it depends on you knowing the play. Mm-hmm. It depends on you knowing the line, get thee to a nunnery. And having a... Actually, fuck off to a nunnery is what Shakespeare would have written if he'd been allowed. It was funnier because it's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
It's because Hamlet at that point is dismissive. He's getting rid of her. His mind is in turmoil. Fuck off to a nunnery. It was better and funnier. The problem with it, I suppose, is that every time a story comes around, columnists, my dad must have done it 50 times, will then do the abbreviated works of Shakespeare. Because that's the only column that's followed.
Yes, yes.
Is that
yes.
I then do King Lear in
a paragraph. Yeah.
And this has happened. That must have happened. So, I mean, I've just probably done it quite a lot. Hard to know because my brain's atrophied.
Yes, clearly. Anything else that caught your eye?
I don't know. I
Oh, Kate Moss. You want
I looked on the front page of the Times today. Back to Nature. Kate Moss with Sadie with the actress Sadie Frost and the nutritionist Rosemary Ferguson on a spiritual retreat on the island of Mustique. And I looked at the three of them, and they've bitten into a dog shit. And I thought. What could you imagine anything less fun? Kate Moss is like having a it's a booze free because they've done so much gack and so much shagging and so much fags. That's why they. That's why they're.
Well,
in
she doesn't. She doesn't drink anymore. I think one of the many things that I have in common with Kate Moss is that we both had a little bit of a white wine problem. And I think before it got serious, she decided to knock the white wine on the head. And is now sort of doesn't drink anymore. I think that, but you were saying, why does everyone care so much about Kate Moss? And let me tell you why everyone cares so much about Kate Moss.
Is it because she's thin?
No, it's because she... Look, I suppose the short and slightly kind of crude answer is because she doesn't give a fuck. And the thing that women mostly do is just give loads of a fuck about everything. And we kind of wish that we didn't because it makes our lives riddled with uncertainty and anxiety and misery. And I'm sure, okay, Moss's life is riddled with uncertainty, anxiety and misery too. But she projects like it's not. And she projects like, I'm Kate Moss and I don't care. And more than anything, more than her cheekbones and her thinness and looking amazing in all clothes all the time and her money and her kind of independence and all of that, the thing that women crave about Kate Moss more than any of that is that she just doesn't care, or she doesn't seem to care.
Just like
you.
You.
Me.
You. That's where we came in. The podcast. What episode is it? I don't know. Don't care.
No,
Esther Walker doesn't give a fuck. She's the Kate Moss of podcasting.
I wish I was the Kate Moss of anything, but no. No, I give a massive shit about all sorts of things. I just don't care about the podcast.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.